Today's episode of the Ramp It Up podcast contains explicit language and may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener's discretion is advised. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the Ramp It Up podcast with your host, Ronell Sinuiz.
Are you ready to ramp it up?
Ramp it up,
Hey, yo, ramp it up, B.
Girl up, ramp it up. Ramp it up.
The Ramp It Up Podcast.
Hey, you need to ramp it up.
Ramp it up.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Ramp It Up Podcast. I am your host and favorite Zoe on Wheels, Ronell. Today is February 5th, and I want to say a very happy Black History Month to everyone tuned into the podcast, February being Black History Month here in the United States. And we're going to do an episode later this month celebrating Black History Month. Also, although I am a couple weeks late, we're going to be celebrating our one-year anniversary here at the podcast. January 13th made it our one-year anniversary. And in the last episode, I did announce that we're going to be doing a giveaway. So we're going to be doing a giveaway to thank everyone who's been supporting and tuning in regularly to the Ramp It Up podcast. I'll talk a bit more about that in a minute. Not to forget, February 14th is Valentine's Day. For all those of you who are booed up, you know, you didn't let 2020's quarantine dry out your relationships or stop you from starting something new. Hopefully you guys are prepared to buy the new boo thing a gift and enjoy some lovey-dovey time. Actually, today's episode, we're going to be talking about relationships pre- and post-spinal cord injury. I have a special guest who had the pleasure of meeting through physical therapy at Jackson Memorial. His name is Alex Martinez. He and I are going to talk a bit about our personal relationships and just giving advice for other men out there who've had spinal cord injuries who are looking to get back into the dating game. So that will be coming up next. Stay tuned. But until then, you know, I have to say special thanks to the episode sponsors. Today's episode is brought to you by Jay Woods Company. Contact Jay Woods Company for all of your special event and catering needs. Hit them up on their Instagram, Jay Woods Company, or you can go to their website, jwoodscompany.com, where you can contact them and have them customize your special event menu. Remember to let Jay Woods Company cater to your special event needs. Also, starting this month, we have to say thank you to our second sponsor, our newest sponsor, Ryan Realty Group. Whether you're looking to sell, buy, or rent residential or commercial property, Ryan Realty Group is committed to giving you the time and service you deserve. Just contact them at ryansellsflorida.com. That's R-Y-A-N, sellsflorida.com. And you can call them at 954-696-7204. Again, Ryan's Realty Group. Special thanks to you guys for joining the Ramp It Up podcast team. So now we're going to jump into just some more information about the giveaway that we have planned for this month. It's going to be through our social media network. So if you are not on our social media, we don't know what's taking you so long. Go to our Instagram page, ramp.it.up.podcast. Or you can also go to Ramp It Up on our Facebook page as well. Just look for the Ramp It Up podcast. I'll put the links, as always, in our notes. And the way to win is pretty simple. You just have to go ahead, follow the pages, like the post, comment, hashtag Ramp It Up. And, of course, tag a couple friends. And the deadline, I do believe, is the 15th of this month, of February. And then the winners will be chosen on March 15th. And if you're asking what will the prizes be, we're giving away 2 Amazon gift cards to everyone on our Instagram and 2 Instacart gift cards for everyone on our Facebook. So if you're trying to order something on Amazon and you're short on cash, go ahead and win one of these prizes. It is one prize per person. Don't be trying to double up. No, you can't get one Amazon and one Instacart card, one per person. Definitely trying to, again, say thank you to everyone who's been supporting the podcast and, of course, spreading the word. It's our one-year anniversary. Thank you to everyone thus far. And if you haven't done so, go ahead, subscribe to the podcast, rate and review it, and, of course, tell a friend. Now it's time to jump into the interview with Alexis. And we're back with another episode of the Ramp It Up podcast. I'm here with my buddy from Jackson, the rehab center, Alexis Martinez. Alexis, what's going on with you, bro?
Yo, it's life is pretty good, man. I'm not gonna lie. Like, we're all dealing with our things, but I gotta say that life is still pretty damn good right now, man. How about you?
Ah, man, it's been fun. I can't say it hasn't. You know, this last year, 2020, was unexpected. And, you know, I haven't got to see you or the rest of the guys from therapy and from the Miami Project in a while. But, you know, we're blessed to stay healthy. You know, we've dealt with wounds and UTIs and stuff, but we're still handsome, and that's what matters.
I got to say, man, those glasses on you, man, you like picked them out really good. I like them a lot.
I'm making it happen.
Honestly, they look so good that they look like a filter, like on Snapchat or something like that.
Bet. I'm going to make money off this somehow. Look at that. Hey, ladies, if y'all are listening, I look good in glasses. Just let them know. All right, so just want to kind of introduce yourself, let them know. I know I met you, I think it was like mid to late 2018 at Jackson, but, you know, just to let the people know a bit about yourself, tell us where you're from, age, and, you know, just life pre-spinal cord injury.
Cool. So, yeah, so my name is Alexis, you know, Martinez. I'm Cuban. I don't really look at that much, but I'm Cuban-American. I was born here. I grew up in West Palm Beach. I went back to Miami, and I was living in, you know, I was living the life in Miami. I had a girlfriend, a fiance. Well, not a girlfriend and a fiance. I had a girlfriend that turned into a fiance.
I don't think you're allowed to have both, but okay.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not about that cheating thing. You know, it's like, if you want to cheat on your partner, then you might as well just leave the relationship, unless you guys have that kind of relationship where, like, you're just sleeping around. You know what I mean? So I got injured in, what was it? I think in like early 2017. I think it was January 2017, because it's been, well, no, was it? Or early, two, I think it was early 2000, yeah, early 2018 I got injured, because it's been 3 years now. Okay. And man, I got injured, motorcycle accident. I don't remember the injury. It was a shock, you know, but just like, you know, how your personality that you had before your injury, you still have it now, man. I've seen your videos on Instagram and stuff like that, and like how upbeat and how social you were and how much energy you had, and you still have that. So it's like, when you have that, it's really hard to get rid of. So this whole life, man, it's been an experience, a big learning curve. Like, every corner I go around, it's like I got to learn something else, or something happens, and then I got to be like, okay, well, now I know that I can't do this, because this is my life from now on. I got to make sure that I don't do this so I can keep living and keep having a good time and not have to, like, be in my house like I am right now, like, nonstop. So,
understandable. So now, what level was your injury?
I'm sorry?
What level was your injury?
Oh, my injury level is T11, T12. I'm not going to lie. When I got injured, all the therapists, all the OTs and PTs, they said I'm extremely lucky to have this injury. And I see it. I really do, especially because, like, we met at the spinal cord injury support group. You know, so it's like I go into that support group and seeing all the different types of injuries and meeting everybody really made me thankful that, you know, that I got injured at this level. It sucks that we got injured, you know, but, like, it's like that saying, like, everything happens for a reason, whether or not we realize it or not, or we see it or not. Like, there's a reason why we're here, you know, and it's hard to say why I'm here, but I'm going to do some great things while I'm here.
Hey, you know, man, I love the positivity, and that's what's important. And you brought up the spinal cord injury support group. I've had the chance to have a couple guys from the group on here as guests. And like you said, you know, you went in there and you see everyone else and you're like, you're thankful that, one, there are other people that are kind of dealing with it as well that you can get great advice from. But two, man, you kind of see examples of where it could have gotten worse. And what I like about it is, even people whose injuries are higher than mine, you know, they're just as positive and they're just out there. They're hustling just as hard and they're living a life. And, you know, that's pretty much what the podcast is about, you know, just highlighting people who could have accepted the worst of the situation, but decided not to, and just going out and taking life by the horns.
Yeah, man, it's like, you know, one comment that I hate that people make, like able-bodied people, they're like, man, if this happened to me, I wouldn't be able to like live. And I'm like, don't say that, because like until you're in my shoes, like, trust me, like you're going to live, like you're going to want to keep doing the things that you used to do. Like, you're not going to let it stop you. Yeah, it's really hard to think about it and imagine yourself in the situation, but don't ever say that you can't handle it, because human beings are really strong. You know what I mean?
You don't realize how strong you are until you have to be strong. And you know, just speaking with my friends and my family, they've said similar, like, you know, I've never considered myself strong in that sense. You know, you never thought of having to deal with something like this. But the reality is, live or die, I think we want to live, you know. I think you want to keep eating. I think you want to be as independent as possible. So we have to be creative and willful enough to find a way to do anything, you know. And myself, you know, I got injured when I was 30. And so I was like, yo, life is still ahead of me, man. I got a whole lot of life living. I was in the beginning of my career, like you. I was in a long-term relationship, bordering on fiance, but not there yet. So I was like, man, it's, if you're giving me the option of giving up on life now or just finding a different way to live, yo, I'm gonna figure out a new way to live.
Yeah, man. And like, I'm pretty sure, like, I don't know how, when you got injured, did you stay in the relationship, or did you guys try, or did you break it, like end it right away? Like, how'd that work out?
So, ironically, just to let the people know who are listening, Valentine's Day is coming up, and Alexis is one of the cats that are the most open at the Miami Project. He's very open to share his personal stories and experiences. And we've chatted as well.
I used to make people uncomfortable.
But you know what? I'm cool with that, because those are some of the things we don't talk about when it comes to like sex and relationships. And, you know, some of us are like, for me, like, I'm still newly injured pretty much. I'm on year 4. So there's some stuff I haven't had the opportunity to try yet. And you want to ask someone else, but you know, we get kind of shy sometimes. So what we're talking about today is pretty much relationships. Valentine's Day is around the corner. So we're going to talk a bit about relationships and just relations post injury. So as far as mine, we survived for a couple months. I'll say I got hurt December of 2016. And by February of 2017, issues were really coming up. March would have made us 4 years. But by the first week or so of March, everything kind of broke apart. And that was it. You know, we've spoken since then. We're amicable. But, you know, as far as romantically, no, it kind of ended. Now, I remember when you first got hurt and I saw you at the prepare meetings, you had a nice young lady on your arm. How did that work out?
Oh, yeah, the first one. Yeah. So that was my fiance, because I remember that first prepare meeting, I was still inpatient, you know, and it was such a perfect topic, because I think we were talking about our private parts.
Yep.
And man, I'll tell you what, being a man, that is on my mind every single day. I think about my private parts. Let's just keep it PG.
Me and my boy,
you know,
John.
So we kind of tried a little bit, you know. It was hard to like be intimate, because like to get an appointment for the urologist took freaking months. We actually didn't even make it up until like we didn't make it up until the point that I went to the urologist to get my meds. So it's like we tried different things, and we tried, like, her mom gave me Viagra from like her country, because it's over the counter over there.
Where?
So, and I didn't know how much Viagra I should take, so I was only taking one pill, and it really wasn't affecting me. From Jordan.
Oh, wow. Middle East.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you, I was in love with her for the wrong reasons. I was in love with her because of her beauty. Like, her beauty alone was why I was in love with her. And I'm still a pretty vain kind of guy, but I was extra vain before my injury.
Yeah.
And and she was in love with me because I was a good looking guy, and I was going to give her like the perfect family and stuff like that. And, you know, it is what it is.
So, I said, I'm going to pause you right there, because that's something a lot of the guys I've spoken to at therapy kind of had to come to terms with. So, you know, we're men. We have our egos. Like you said, there's certain levels of vanity if we're good looking and we know we're providers. And especially if you're already in a relationship, the woman kind of already envisioned what life is going to be. But then we get hurt. And I met a lot of guys in therapy who were in serious relationships. They were married or long-term girlfriends that didn't last. That I'll give some of them up to the first year, because either one, the person wasn't as supportive as they would have wished, or two, sometimes just learning to cope with it personally was really hard. And I know that was part of my issue too. You know, I'm a big dude, 6'1". I'm used to being big and strong, and it catches people off guard. They think the hair is it, but no, I was working hard. I was in the beginnings of my career, and as you said, I'm very social, so, popular. So in my perspective, I think she had an idea of what life was supposed to be post or before any of this happened. And once our injuries happened, it just kind of destroyed that dream or whatever. So I know it's been difficult.
Like, that's not what she signed up for.
And, I can't blame the person too much. It's pretty crappy, I'm not going to lie, but I can't blame the person 100% because I didn't sign up for it either. So how would you say, if you don't mind me asking, how did that breakup happen? And then we're going to talk a bit about life post-breakup.
Man, I'll tell you what. I tried my best to make that relationship work. I was just trying to, agree with her with everything, trying to be a friend to her again. And, it was crazy because she told me I was still inpatient at the hospital, and she's like, oh, I'm falling back in love with you. And then I was like, wait, what? I was like, so you fell out of love with me before the injury, and now you're falling back in love with me because of the way I'm handling it? That's weird. And that threw up a flag in my head. I was like, oh shit. I thought our relationship was good before my injury, but it really wasn't. It was a toxic relationship. I'll say that much. I don't even know why I was getting married to the girl. But besides that, we tried, I told you before we started the podcast, there was a company that was through her friend that was helping me out. They bought me the standing frame that I'm on now. They were going to buy me some equipment, sporting equipment, a racing bike, a bunch of other stuff, a beach wheelchair, so I could go to the beach and stuff like that. And then she's like, hey, since you're not working and we need to pay rent, why don't we just instead of getting all this equipment for you, why don't we just use that for rent? And I was like, you know what? Yeah, I didn't want to argue with her. I didn't want to say, look, I want these things because look at my life now. I want to make my life better, and these things are going to do that. I just said, yeah, okay. So we took it to rent, and dude, I don't know. I don't know if her brother was in it with me, trying to get at me so I could leave the relationship, and she wasn't trying. She was telling me that it's hard to see me, hard to look at me, because she sees what I was, and now she sees what I am, and it hurts her and all this bullshit, and it was difficult. I even tried to give her space, and I moved out, and I moved into my mom's house, and I tried to let her be alone a little bit so she could have some space for me and, we could make this work, but it didn't. And I had to actually break up with her because I was the one, because I wasn't being intimate with her and I wasn't getting the kind of emotions or intimacy that I wanted from her. I was going out and looking for it in the wrong places. I spent a whole afternoon riding around Miami, going to different massage parlors because a buddy of mine told me that some massage parlors, you could literally pay to have sex. And I was like, man, I had just took some Viagra and I went to a bunch of different massage parlors and they were all busy. And then I got to one that was actually kind of close to my house, but they didn't do sex. She gives me some bullshit. First of all, I had to get naked. I got fully naked. And then this is when I realized that my private parts were still working because I took the Viagra before I even went in the place. And my heart was pumping so much. I was so nervous because I was getting naked in front of a woman that I don't know, that I saw my parts standing up, and I was like, oh shit, hell yeah. So I tried to put that in between my legs so she could see it. You know what I mean? And she gave me some bullshit massage. It was literally her just going softly on my back. And I talked to her, and then at the end, she's like, okay, so what do you want to do? And I was like, oh, I want to have sex. She's like, oh, we don't do that. We only do it by the hand or by the mouth. And I was like, oh, well, I can't really feel my stuff like that. So I don't want that. I want to have sex. So I paid $60 for some bullshit massage. It was really funny. And then I told I told her that I did that because I'm an honest guy. I don't hide things. And I told her straight up, I was like, look, I went to these massage parlors looking to have sex, and this is what I did. I didn't do anything, but this is what I did. And she got upset, and then I was looking for other stuff. So I had to break up with her. And she told me, she's like, I'm glad that you broke up with me because I didn't have the courage to break up with you. And I knew we had to break up, but I couldn't do it.
This is all during you. You weren't still inpatient. This was outpatient at this point. And what I've noticed is, it's the worst time for all that to kind of come up because you're still trying to figure yourself out in your head.
Exactly.
You're a person. It's a lot of emotions going on, and to have to deal with the relationship aspect of it kind of made it very difficult. Now, I know a lot of guys who were blessed to have amazing women by their side and continue to support them post-injury, and even to this day. One of our boys, Darius, from therapy, he went and got married post-injury. A few of the other guys had kids, so, you know, the best for them as well. But unfortunately, like, you know, you're physically in a position where you're trying to figure out who you are again. You're mentally trying to, you know, figure out what's going on. And then you're also the partner in this relationship that you're trying to figure out, you know, how you can still play that part and still be an equal partner. And it could be a bit overwhelming. So I could definitely understand going out and trying to find it elsewhere. So pretty much at this point, you guys have broken up and you spent a little bit of time by yourself. But like I did in therapy, you're seeing other guys come in with their girls, or you're seeing married couples and stuff. So for me, it was just like, okay, let me get past this first year. You know, make sure I'm not dying or anything. I had really bad wounds that first year, so I didn't really have time to focus on the relationship aspect of it. I was still trying to figure out, am I going to survive this? What's going on? But by the second year, I was like, all right, it's getting pretty dry in here. I got to figure out, you know, what's going on, the whole dating aspect, trying to meet new people. But one thing, and I'm going to ask if you've had the similar issue, is your self-confidence takes a big hit post-injury. You know, you're not as confident, or your self-esteem was a little down. Did you deal with that at all?
It did, because, like me, I'm not going to lie. Like, when I first got injured, I was scared to break up with my ex because I was like, man, I'm on a wheelchair. I'm not going to be able to find the type of girl that I like. I'm not going to be able to find a girl. I didn't even think like that, the type of girl that I like. I'm saying that now, but like, when I was injured, I was like, man, I'm not going to be able to find a girl. Like, what girl's going to want to be with a guy that's on a wheelchair that has some kind of like a disability? You know, but there are women out there that are very open-minded. Most of them are nurses. I'm not going to lie. I've met a lot of nurses. But there is. So it's like, how do you say, like, if anything, being on the wheelchair and this injury kind of made me more confident. Not more confident, but, like, more outgoing. Now, like, dude, I'm like a social butterfly now, man. I, like, when I go to my Publix that I go to by my house, dude, I talk to everybody. I go there, I get Cuban coffee, like the ones that you share, colada, and I literally ask all the employees that are working, like all the bag boys and all the people that are working, the managers, even like some customers, even during COVID, I'm like asking people if they want a shot of coffee, you know, and I talk to everybody, you know what I mean? And just, I think the wheelchair made me be more outgoing because I already have people looking at me, you know, so I just kind of like go along with it, so... Kind of, and like in ways, at the beginning, I wasn't that confident, but after being outside, like just being outdoors and being where people are, like I got a job because I had a buddy that he had a boat party that he owned, like he was doing it, and he got me to start promoting for him. So I went to South Beach and I'm there on South Beach being a promoter for a boat party, and I'm on a wheelchair. Like I'm the only guy on a wheelchair in South Beach being a promoter. Like, dude, you have to have, like, you build your confidence having to, like, get out of your comfort zone to, like, reach out and talk to people and, like, interrupt whatever they're doing and, like, talk to them and get them to come out and party with you. So it's, like, you have to be outgoing. You have to be confident. And little by little, you get that. Like, kind of like, I'll say, like, when I was in high school, I was very shy and I didn't talk that much. But I went to speech and debate. And speech and debate helped me so much to talk in front of people. Now I could give a speech in front of I don't know how many people, thousands of people, and I have no problem. But if I didn't go through speech and debate and have that experience of talking in front of people, I wouldn't have gotten like to where I am now, I could say. So it's all about like practice and just putting yourself out there.
Now I've spoken with a few of the other guys and they've kind of given me, and I've noticed it as well, being in the wheelchair kind of, I guess, lowers the defenses of women. You know, they're used to being approached to by guys all the time, whether good looking or not. But when you're kind of in the chair, they're kind of like, oh, okay, well, they lower their guard a little bit and they're more receptive. Because I've realized, you know, I've dated a little bit post-injury, but I've realized while going out and in social interactions, like, yo, like, you know, sometimes they're just being friendly or whatever, but that kind of already reels them in. It's like, I already got your attention. No one else looks like me. I'm still dressed fresh. I'm still clean. But, you know, I'm in the wheelchair, so their curiosity has kind of peaked a little bit. But now that I got your attention, it kind of gives you that window in. Have you had that same experience?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And I'll say this too, the wheelchair is like an automatic filter, because the type of women that are, I don't want to be easy about it, like the shitty type of women that would never ever talk to a guy in a wheelchair or never even they won't even give you, they won't even look your way. But the women that will actually like look at you and talk to you, it just filters out the good and the bad women, you know. It really does, like by like good-hearted, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
And yeah, like the one girl that I actually like, I'm still in love with her, even though I'm not with her, I'm still in love with her. And it's like a really complicated, super complicated kind of thing. I met her and I was in South Beach, and she just looks at me and like, I'm trying to promote the boat tour to her, thinking she's a tourist. And she just looks at me and she's like, I'm going to say this in PG words, but she's like, you must get so much tail. You know? And I'm like, kind of not really, to be honest. I'm like, I'm not, I don't know. I'm kind of new to being on the wheelchair and stuff like that. And man, we hit it off from there. It was crazy. Oh man. You know, so. Yeah.
I would say for me, because I'm in the power chair, you know, I'm a quad. So my injury is a lot higher up. I don't have the same upper body ability as you do right now. So what I tend to do is, you know, if we're out somewhere riding around jokingly, I'll offer someone a ride. I'm like, hey, you look like your feet hurt, you know, would you like a ride? And that's, you know, it's a great icebreaker, you know, just joking around or whatever. So it's a great way to get going. But what tends to happen sometimes is you kind of have to be careful to figure out, are they just humoring you, just making jokes because you're funny or nice, or is it an interest? So I've kind of had to play around with that one a little bit. Like I said, I've had one or two successes, but it hasn't been my, I guess, my priority right now. Just, you know, trying to make sure I still got it, make sure I'm not rusty out here, but it is becoming more of a priority at this point.
Yeah, I see what you mean by like we just piqued their interest, because I've been out at bars. Well, the last time that I went out and I had a phenomenal time, I had so much fun. Like three girls came up to me and like, they're like, oh my God, like, that's so awesome that you're out and you're still having fun and you're doing your thing, you know, and you're not letting the wheelchair stop you. And like, they took all these awesome pictures with me. And like, one of them I was flirting with hard, you know, I told her, I was like, oh, you look really good with me. And, I got her number and I texted her just one thing. And she, just because she didn't reply to that text, I was like, oh, this girl isn't interested. They were just being like, sympathetic, you know, and which is kind of fucked up, to be honest. You know, it, excuse the language, it's a little messed up that they were like, oh my God, they're like showing sympathy to me, or like kind of like looking down upon me just because of my situation, and because I'm out in a place where it's really not that wheelchair friendly. It's a cramped ass bar. You know, so it's a totally different, you know.
I think, and again, I'm a very social guy. I like to party, I like going out, different atmospheres. And it's taken a lot of courage, one, to go back out there, because like you said, not everywhere is very wheelchair accessible. Then you are concerned at some point at how people are looking at you. And let's be honest, you know, I'm used to getting some sort of attention from women, whether I'm dancing or joking around or being the center of attention. So it's kind of like that. I feel the change. You know what I mean? You know, I've gone to a wedding and it was an amazing wedding. And usually I'm the center of attention because I'm dancing and going crazy and having fun. But now it's like, dang, I'm the center of attention because I'm the guy in the wheelchair. So you kind of have to, I guess, filter through, like you said before, kind of figure out which ones are the ones that are genuinely interested, or, you know, just having a good time. I'm okay with just going and meeting people and just having a good time and moving on and not expecting anything else from there. But as you said, I've gotten a number or two, or I've gotten the Instagram and we're DMing for a little bit and then a complete fall off. So you're not sure if it was, dang, were they just kind of being nice because I was a good guy in the wheelchair, or was it the interest?
Yeah, that happens a lot. That happens a whole lot, you know. But, you know, you just got to be yourself and have fun and be outgoing, because, I mean, the outgoing part is, I think, is really important. Unless that's totally not your style, and if being outgoing is not your style, then you're not going to be one to be out at a club, you know. Then maybe you should just go to a library and be like silent and smart intellectual in a library, and maybe you'll get the attention of a smart, you know, girl at a library that you like. You know, it's like you got to play to your strengths, you know, and our strengths really now, it's like mostly it's like our mind is our strength, because what comes from our mind, you know, is what we speak and how our presence, you know. Yeah. That's really important.
So now, post-injury, have you tried any online dating, any of the apps or anything like that?
Yeah, actually, I gave up on the apps. You know, I gave up on the apps, even though I did, like, all right, so I got after I broke up with my ex, we broke up in like October. We almost lasted a year. We lasted like 10 months, but it was like a shitty ass 10 months. It really was. I'm not gonna lie. It was really fucking shitty. I felt like crap. I cried a whole bunch, not because of her, but I cried because of me. Like, I'm like learning my body, and like any little thing that went wrong with like my wheelchair or with my situation, man, I would just cry. And it was, I couldn't control it. You know, my emotions even now are not where they used to be. But,
oh, no, they're completely all over the place. I've talked about it with some of the other guys. Yeah, it's all over the place now.
Yeah, dude, like I've cried in front of my friends that I never thought I'd cry in front of them. And over the stupidest shit, just me explaining something that's kind of like a little emotional, and then boom, just the tears start coming out. Even now, I'm like getting watery-eyed.
So it happens to me during TV commercials now. It'll be something random, like a Charmin commercial for toilet paper, and I find myself tearing up. I'm like, yo, what just happened? Like, but
yeah, I mean, movies are like that to me now. Movies get me big time. They really do.
we're manly enough to talk about our feelings.
Dang, I forgot the question.
No. So we were talking about online dating and apps and stuff.
Oh, yeah. So it's like, yeah, like online dating, like, so I've heard different kinds of experiences, like what different kinds of like guys do on apps. So first of all, I'll tell you, like, I'm honest. So I'm going to put on the dating profile, not that I'm going to write in my bio that I'm on a wheelchair. I'm just going to show it in the pictures, you know? So like when I posted my pictures, I showed pictures of things that I actually like doing. Like I was before the wound that I have, I was exercising like 3 times a week, maybe more. I was going out with the support group. I was hanging out with other people in wheelchairs. I was going to South Beach and interacting with people, playing basketball, having fun. So I'd put up pictures like that. And I feel like showing that side of me really had women like intrigued, because I'm not going to lie. Before my injury, I would never get any matches. I would get people that liked me, but I wouldn't get matches, you know, because I guess we didn't match up. But like, man, after the wheelchair, dude, I got so many matches. I got so many girls liking me and stuff like that. I had so many conversations. But most of the conversations were like dry. Like it was like me like pulling teeth to get them to talk. And then some of them were like so great. Like I would like literally talk to a girl, and then that same day we would go out on a date, you know, and those women, like we had a good time. I learned things about myself and about talking to girls. But overall, the apps, they suck, man. They really do. Like they suck so bad. They're so like, I can't say this because I'm a vain guy, but they're so vain and so like, it's so hard to strike up a good conversation with somebody on these apps, you know, and then you do strike up a good conversation. You feel comfortable and confident that, you know, that you guys are liking each other. And then I go ahead and I say something that totally ruins everything, you know, which just happens. So I shoot myself in the foot like crazy. That's one thing, a flaw about being honest. I shoot myself in the foot like crazy. So it's like, now I gave up on the apps. And I just totally don't do it. Now I'm just like, you know what? I'm gonna find a girl the same way that I used to before my injury. Either like somehow with my work, or just going out and being out in public, because the dating apps are, they're worthless, man. They really are. Like, it's good to have some fun and like waste time, but, and some people, you know, I've heard some success stories with apps, but just for me, it doesn't work.
So what I've similar experience, you know, I've used the dating apps prior to the injury before, and had some success. And then I was in the long-term relationship, so, you know, you kind of jump off of it. So for me, getting back on was, first of all, it was weird. I was like, man, I haven't done this in like 5 years. Got to create a new profile. And I'm like, yo, you kind of got to pick which pictures are suitable enough, like still attractive enough, but honest enough to say, hey, you know, I am in a wheelchair. So I never put too many of like the full body wheelchair ones, but I always put enough where they see the headrest or the top of my chair and stuff, just enough to kind of pique someone's interest. But like you said, I put activities of me being out. When I went and did the jet skiing, I put the water skiing, I put that picture up. So, you know, just different activities where they're like, okay, so he's not just home in bed or something like that. So it's, I always got to probably like first base, just open conversations and joking around and, you know, hey, how you doing? How's your day? And then that question just kind of comes up. So in some of your pictures, I kind of see like a headrest. What's that about? So I'm like, okay, I kind of built a bit of a rapport. So you kind of hope that rapport you built with the person, they kind of got to know you. Maybe it'll push you past, but sometimes it doesn't and you'll get nothing. Like you said, it'll be real dry. It's like you're trying to pull teeth. Me, I feel like one or two ignored messages, I kind of like, all right, cool, it's not working, and I move on. But what I have found is, like you said, in person, you know, whether you're interacting because of a work environment or or a mutual friend or someone who may have known you before, but you guys weren't like romantically interested. Because not only do they know who you are, but they can still see it beyond the injury. And like I said, I've gone on a couple dates. I've had some fun. Nothing like long-lasting or relationship building, but it's been enough to kind of give me that hope of, all right, cool, I can go out here and still snatch something, you know, go out. I've bought girls drinks and stuff. And like I said, it all depends on that confidence that you have. And I think being in person, I have a much better chance, I think, than on the app.
Yeah, it's like there's nothing like your significant, I mean, the person that, the people, the sex that you like, seeing you in your element, you know, seeing you like be a total fucking badass, man. Just like rocking it, being confident, knowing what you're doing and being a boss at it, you know. And I just want to say, like, there's like another way to like be on apps that I've heard. Like, so I've heard the story of this guy that he would be on the apps and he would basically say that the wheelchair is temporary. That he's like going through this thing and he got injured and it's temporary. So he would basically like start the whole relationship off on a lie, and he would jump from relationship to relationship in for 3 months at a time, because the girl's like, okay, so what's next? Like, when are you going to start getting better? And then they see that it's really not getting better. They start doing their own research and find out that the guy's lying, you know? And like, that's not the way to do it. Like, yeah, if you want to get some tail, sure, be a liar, you know? But that's a lot of people. I don't see you doing that ever. You know,
first of all, I suck at lying. I don't keep a story straight. I forget. My memory's not made for it.
Right.
But, you know, I don't put, and it's very interesting. So I was on like a website. I was giving advice about dating post SCI. The reality is, you can't put everything on Front Street, but you have to be honest to a certain degree. You know what I mean? My first conversation isn't about penises, you know what I mean? Or when I'm going to stand up again. But the reality is, look, hey, let's talk about music. What do you like to do? Where do you like to go eat? Do you still drink? You know, stuff like that. The social norms, you know what I mean? But to be honest, I'm like, okay, cool. It always gets to that point where the girl's just like, okay, so what's the deal with the wheelchair? And I'm like, okay, you know, you're waiting for it. You kind of hold your breath in the relationship until it comes up. And I'm like, all right, cool. You know, had this accident a couple years ago. I'm still healthy otherwise. No super crazy complications, thank God. But the issue is I'm a C5 quad. There's no full yes or no of what's going on, but the reality is just stay healthy. And some girls, their response is either run away, and others is, oh, let me just do some research. Let me learn about it. Let me see if it's something I can live with or something I could learn to understand. And I think because I am a bit more cerebral, I'm really intelligent, and I like girls like that as well. Those are the ones I can deal with. If you want to freak out and run, cool, that's you. But if you want to have a conversation about it, be realistic, be honest, yo, I'm completely open. And like I said, it's worked to some degree, and others were kind of like, all right, cool. That's a little too much for me to deal with. And I prefer that honesty. You'll just tell me up front, hey, you know, I don't think I can kind of deal with that. And I'm like, cool. If whether we're friends or whether we just move on separately, I'm good with that. But I think I like the girls more who are more willing to learn something about it than just make assumptions. Like, oh, nothing works. He'll never walk again. He can't get no job. Like, no, none of those things are true. I'm still working, trying to figure out a way to make some serious money. I'm still real social. I still hang out with my family. I'm not out here dying every other week, you know what I mean? So I think finding that sweet spot with the honesty is way better than living a lie.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head right there, man, because just like I had that problem where I kind of say too much, and I went on my last two dates I went on. One was with a girl that like I used to know from like 10 years ago, and we went on a date, and I thought, you know, everything leading up to the date was pretty good, but I guess when we're on the date, I talked too much. I said too many things. Not that I was talking about the wheelchair, just I was just talking about a bunch of different things, you know, not trying to like focus on one little thing and trying to keep moving on and stuff like that. And she didn't like that everything that I said. There was something, either there was one thing that she really didn't like, or it was just like a combination of everything, you know. And I was like, okay, well, that's whatever, you know. Like, yeah, we used to have something back in the day, but, you know, I'm kind of a different person now. Even my best friend, you know, he told me, he's like, dude, you've gotten a little bit weird on me. And I'm like, really? He's like, yeah, but I understand where you're coming from, because you're different now. Like, you got into a life-changing injury, and now, like, you're a little bit different. And you're not too weird that I'm not wanting to be your friend, but I'm letting you know that you're just a little bit weird. And then I had another date that, man, gorgeous black girl. Oh my God. I met her the last night that I went out. Super gorgeous, super awesome and outgoing. We went out to the beach And I dropped her off at her house, and she's like, look, I got to be honest with you. And I love that she was honest with me. She's like, you're too much for me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just too outgoing, just too out there for her. You know, like I took her to Publix to get a Publix sub so we could take it to the beach. And I was there talking to everybody and cracking jokes and talking to the sandwich artist. Look at me talking like I worked at Subway. You could tell I worked at Subway. And we had a really good time. And even she said we had a good time, but she was honest with me. She said, look, you're just too much for me. And I'm like, okay, cool. I could still text you though. You know, we could still kind of be friends, right? And go out every now and then, right? She said, yeah. Just don't be sexual with me like that. You know, don't be sending me anything nasty. I was like, nah, that's not my style. I just, you know, you're really cool and you're really pretty. So, I would love to like hang out with you again. So,
and you know, I think again, that's finding that on the spot, you know, and that would have happened to someone able-bodied or not. Like, hey, you're a little bit too outgoing for me. That's not their thing. And I think we could deal with that more so than someone. I'd rather that than someone pitying me and just sending me a pity text here and there, or just ghosting me. Like, yo, just tell me what's up and we'll move on from there. Because, again, I've had similar where you've met a girl. Like, for me, we've had so many random trips to the doctors or the hospital and stuff, I've met so many girls who are either nurses or aides or whatever in the hospital. And I mean, whenever you're there for a couple of days, you're going to joke around. You're going to flirt. You're going to be that guy. And ironically, I've gotten more numbers because I was in the hospital than outside. And that's just what it is. Like, I mean, because again, it's about killing the perception people have of you. They assume we're injured and we're just going to be these depressed guys just chilling and upset and angry at life because they've dealt with people like that. But when you're still joking around and open and clowning around, literally, I've had like girls sit in the room with me for a couple hours forgetting they had other patients because, you know, we were hitting it off so well. So again, you know, I could honestly say I haven't pursued it too far, but the reality is, yo, like it's still possible. Like you said before, sometimes it might be a nurse or a therapist who kind of understands the world a bit more and they're more open-minded, but I'd much rather have that experience with someone that kind of is willing to understand where we're coming from versus someone that just kind of makes these assumptions or thinks we're weird. Like, there's nothing weird about it. I got to make sure I don't drink too much or I'll have a UTI, or I got to make sure it's not a bowel program day. You know, there are certain concerns that I have now that if my friends don't understand, then maybe we can't be as close as we used to be. Like, some of my boys know, hey, look, Tuesday is one of my bowel program days. So if we're trying to hang out, we got to hang out later in the day, or I can't stay out too late. I'll get wounds on my butt. You know, those are the people who are going to end up supporting you. And it's the same thing with dating. One of the girls I was talking about, it's like, she'd want to hang out and it's like 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, you do know I'm quad, right? I can't just hop out of bed and jump in, you know? So you kind of have to find someone that understands where you're coming from and not only could sympathize and empathize, but understand and be a part of that. Like, yo, yeah, I want to go on dates. We kind of have to plan it because I have to get transportation and do a few of those things. And if they could kind of get on board, then cool. If not, all right, I'm cool with that as well. Keep pushing.
Yeah, you make a really good point there. Like, the girl that I'm still in love with, that we're not together in this like super complicated relationship. It's like, it's so complicated that she blocks me and unblocks me. It's been like about a year that we haven't been together. And in that year, like, I've seen her a couple of times and we've like been intimate a couple of times, but she blocks me, unblocks me. But she told me, she's like, you know, you're the only person that ever makes me wait. Like, I wait for you so much. And I'm like, I can't help it. Like, I'm on a wheelchair. Like, you got to, like, kind of give me an advance notice that you're coming over or that we're going to do this or do that. And also, I'm kind of still learning my body and figuring out how long it takes me to do stuff. So it's like, you know, and she was understanding about it and all that stuff. And one thing I really enjoyed about this girl was, man, when we hung out, like, the banter that we had back and forth was just so awesome. And it's so fun and always cracking a joke or always trying to make fun of each other or kind of make each other laugh. You know, it wasn't just like sitting there waiting to go out. You know, it's like on the way out, we were just having such a great time in the car, you know. And to find that, I'm not gonna lie, it's kind of hard. I've met a lot of girls, and just to have that kind of like friendly banter that you could joke around and make fun of each other is kind of hard. It's hard to find, but it's out there, man. There's always, even being on a chair, there's somebody out there for us, without a doubt.
And I think that's what myself, yourself, and other guys And even ladies, you know, I haven't really had the lady perspective of this conversation yet, but we have to keep that in mind. Yo, there's someone out there, man. There's someone that could look past the injury. They see you, not necessarily the wheelchair, but at the same time, they can understand the wheelchair. I don't need sympathy. I just need understanding. You know what I mean? Understand that, hey, before I go to a restaurant, I kind of got to call ahead, make sure I can get through the door, or understand the seating situation, or I have to make sure it's within the Tri-County area if I'm taking transportation, or someone that can, you know, see where I'm coming from and know I'm not doing it because I'm debilitated or anything. I just got to do my research. I'm down to do anything anywhere. Like I said, my boy, he got married and we jumped out there, no question. We went out, we did the bachelor party. But guess what? I called the place ahead of time. I was like, look, I'm in a power wheelchair. Can I get through the building? Can I ride around safely? And I think that's what's important, being able to have someone that could support you through all that. So now, Valentine's Day, right around the corner. Let's give, if you have, from your experience, give some of the guys who are freshly injured, trying to date, a couple pieces of advice.
This was actually a really good one that Dr. Mario at Jackson told me, because like when I was still in the relationship, when I was before my injury, I was a real, like, if I kind of wanted something, I went out and got it. Mm-hmm. And you still got to have that attitude. So it's like, if you're with a girl that you're already on that intimate level that you could just like kiss her whenever, like instead of like saying, hey, come here, come give me a kiss, you know what I mean? You could just grab her and bring her down and give her a kiss, you know what I mean? Like you kind of still have to be that alpha male and show her that you can still, like, I don't want to say dominate, but you know, that basically, you know, like you grab her, you pull her down, or you do something to make her get to your level, and you give her a kiss and stuff like that. So it's just like, don't be scared to do that. You know, you got to still be the person you were before the injury, but kind of like a better person, you know, a more efficient person, because everything about being on a wheelchair, it takes time, man. And you don't want to have to like leave your house and then you get to the party and you're like, oh shit, I forgot this. I can't go to the party because I forgot this. Yeah. Or you got to go back home and get that and then go back to the party and waste all that time. You just got to make sure that you have everything you need to like be out for however long it is and then get back without having any accidents or without falling out of your chair, you know, or not getting too drunk, because drinking now after the injury, it's a little bit different. I feel like you get drunker faster and like things affect you differently. Like I had one really bad experience where I crashed my car post-injury. Like I went to a party that my brother was the DJ at. It was a house party and I was drinking, but I felt like I was drinking at a normal level that I've already drank before post-injury. And then but the thing was, that was new. I smoked hookah, or I was trying to smoke hookah, and dude, that just made me black out. Yeah. And you know, I got in the car and I drove. People tried to stop me. I don't know how they didn't stop me. I'm a guy on a wheelchair. How can you not stop a guy on a wheelchair from getting inside the car? Come on, man. Topping me out of the chair. Take my chair away from me. Like, come on, dude. Like, really, take the keys away. Like, how hard is it? But I'm not trying to get into that because, you know, I'm still a little sour about it. But anyway, I drove my car and I crashed into a tree. Totaled the car. Didn't crash into anybody. I just crashed into a tree. So the police really didn't get involved. And I got really lucky, because if the police didn't get involved, I would have got a DUI, and dude, I would have been a guy on a wheelchair with in jail for having a DUI. And then now my life is that much harder. So it's just like, you kind of got to just take things a little bit slow and like learn how different things affect the body, because it definitely does affect it differently now.
All right. One thing I could add to your piece of advice is, and especially goes back to when we got to hang out for my birthday, yo, be confident, man. Get you a wingman, someone that either, whether it's one of your friends who's able-bodied or someone in a chair that you could ride with and hang out with and have a good time. Because from what I've seen, when they see that out there, just like we said in pictures, when they see you're open, having fun and just chilling and still being the person you are, it attracts people to come to you. And I had the chance to talk to Alex from therapy, and he told me the same. He was like, yo, a group of them used to go out to Hard Rock, and it'd be like 4, 5, 6 guys all in wheelchairs. And they'd end up the center of the party because, you know, they're just exuding confidence and enjoying themselves. And, you know, they're not chill in the back. And I've done it. I've done it quite a few times, whether at restaurants or we've gone to movies and just different activities. And whether you go with a girl or you're trying to pull somebody while you're out there, that confidence, man, I know it's hard post-injury. You know, we're dealing with a lot of changes physically and emotionally, but if you can still tap into that confidence, I think it's a big one. And another one, I kind of read this one and I lived it. Yo, man, we tend to kind of fall into the wear sweatpants every day or a baggy t-shirt, you know. Yo, get out of that. Like that first year, my beard was out of control. I didn't care about my hair. I didn't do nothing. And I was just like, yo, like, how am I going to pull a girl or attract a woman if I'm looking like a bum? So, you know, if I'm not going to the gym, yo, I'm putting on an outfit. I'm trying to get my hair cut. I'm trying to look fresh or something, because that all falls into that confidence area.
Yeah, we're kind of both in the same boat. We're like, we're recovering from this wound. So your beard is kind of out of whack. Yes. My beard is out of whack too, man. It's actually been one whole month that I don't shave, you know, and I just like, damn, man, I can't wait to, like, I told myself I'm not going to shave until my wound is healed. So hopefully I get something looking nice, because, you know, it's been, my beard has been a struggle my whole life. But I wanted to say something. It's like, everybody that gets injured, you will find your confidence. It just takes a little bit of time, and you'll find your confidence once you learn your body. Once you learn your body and you kind of get like a habit going, or a ritual or a routine, I should say, going, like once you get that routine going and you have it down packed, man, that confidence is going to come back so fast. You just really got to, it's practice makes perfect, man. You just got to go out there, go to places that make you uncomfortable, go to a bar that everybody's dancing, man. Trust me. Somebody's going to come up to you and want to dance with you. They're going to grab your hands and try to move your shoulders and dance with you. It's going to be uncomfortable at first, but you got to do it.
That was actually a really good point, because if you're only going to places where you're comfortable now, I don't think you'll be brave enough to, I'm sorry.
You good?
Take a sip of water and almost killed me. But, you know, you kind of, and I think, my boy's wedding was the first one for me. All my friends know I dance. Yo, I love dancing. And I've seen some of your videos on Instagram and stuff going out.
No, I seen you before your injury, man. You're 6'1". You dropped it like it's hot. Man. You really dropped it like it's hot, man. I love that, because I used to kind of do the same thing. I would get low. I'd be the one guy getting low with the girls, you know? Like, no other guy could get that low. And I know you did that.
Miami boy. And the girls love it. And, you know, that's always been my thing, to go out. And I decided, you know, even though if I might not be able to get on the dance floor the same way, yo, man, ride the wheelchair out there, you know. They'll give you some room and somebody will sit on your lap and someone will dance. And, you know, again, it's just about enjoying the experience of life, not letting the negatives that we deal with on a daily basis take over.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. This is for the people that like women, because I can't say this is for the guys. You know, I got to say this is for the people that like women. Girls that like to party love giving guys on wheelchairs lap dances. It's like an automatic, like if you're at a bar that's freaking wild and people are going crazy, dude, you're going to get some girl coming around and shaking her butt all over you. For real. It's going to happen. It's happened to me several times. I've heard other guys say that it happens to them. It's just something like you're on a moving chair. So they're automatically going to want to give you a lap dance like right away. It happens all the time.
Man, not to incriminate myself. Hopefully no one, none of my parents, anyone's listening. But yo, it'd be the most random places I've gotten just someone to sit on my lap and dance. I'm like, who am I to say no? Look at all this space. Let me just lean my, and you know, I have the power chair, so I can lean it back a little bit. I'm like, go ahead.
Enjoy yourself. you could be in South Beach, you know, because South Beach everywhere is turned up in South Beach. You could be in a restaurant and all of a sudden some turned up song comes on and there's some girls there and they start dancing. They see you and they're like, oh, I'm going to dance on the guy in the wheelchair, you know, and it could happen anywhere. So you just got to be ready for like any situation when you're out and you're just expect to have a good time. It's like there's this book that I read that I recommend every guy read this. It's not a playbook. It's more about a story and it has a moral to the end of it, but there are some really good points in that book, and it's called The Game. I don't know if you've ever heard it. It looks like a Bible. The book looks like a Bible. The paper is like Bible paper and everything, man. And it's the story of pickup artists, you know, like, and there was a show on VH1 called The Pickup Artist.
Yeah, I remember.
And there was one guy on that show called Mystery, and the book, it actually kind of centers around this guy. So it's like, these are real events and things that really happened in LA. And in the book, they said, whenever you enter an establishment, enter it with a smile. Make sure you enter that place with the right foot. I mean, for us, it doesn't matter what foot, but you know what I mean? And with a smile. You got to enter that place with a smile. Hold the smile the whole way that you're going to the bar, because that makes such a big difference. You know what I mean? Nobody wants to be having fun with somebody that's too serious. You know, you got to go in there and just, you know, your presence has got to be known. Like, everybody's got to feel your presence and be like, oh shit, who's this guy on the wheelchair, man? Like, what's his deal, man? I've never seen him before, but look at him. He's looking sharp. He's got a smile on his face. He's ready to have fun.
You'd rather that instead of them saying, who's the guy in the wheelchair? You know, that perspective makes it so different. Coming in with energy and that smile versus coming in and looking like life is depressing, really, makes the difference. You know what I mean? And I've seen it, whether it's some of my church activities or whether it's going out with the fam to restaurants or even house parties. Like, I've done house parties and, girls that were there that, you know, you wouldn't have thought would have paid you any mind, spend the whole night sitting with you and talking and chatting you up, because again, it's that mindset. And once, you know, most girls, I can say, like the guy that can kind of deal with the crowd and has some level of popularity around him. So once they kind of see you're popping, you know, it kind of pulls them towards. And of course, we said before, you know, for the guys listening, trying to get some advice for this Valentine's Day and just in general, being honest is the big one. We're not telling you go out here and lie just to pick up girls. Be very honest, not too honest, like Alexis said. You don't got to put everything on Front Street.
Yeah, but, and not too early. Not too honest too early, you know, because eventually they're going to know everything. Just, you know, give them some time, you know.
So now, I mentioned it a couple times before, you know, you share a lot of your stuff on your Instagram and YouTube and stuff. Do you want to tell the people how they could check some of your work and just see some of the conversations you've had online?
Yeah. Man, too bad that there's a lot of the dating stuff that I used to put on my Instagram. Like, they're all my stories, and like I never really archived them, but I started archiving a lot of my stories. So it's on Instagram and on YouTube. Although my YouTube is mostly to like just help people out, how to do things, you know, because there's a lot of people that they don't get the proper education for being on a wheelchair from their hospital, or they live in a country where literally like they don't get taught anything. So I do a lot of how-tos, and you can find me on all social media platforms at ST Casanova. And I've had a lot of people ask me what the ST stands for. I'm like, well, I think it's called an abbreviation. Yeah, it's an abbreviation. It's like Saint, an abbreviation for Saint, you know? Yeah. And I love my name because I made it way back in the day, and I don't want to change it because I've met a lot of people that they change their social media platform name to like conform with the wheelchair. So I made another account that's called the Wheel Casanova, but I kept my original one because I made that back in 2009. It's like an oxymoron because, you know, Casanova is like a womanizer. Yeah, but I'm a saint at the same time, you know? So it's like I'm a Saint Casanova. I love it, but, you know, I'm really open about everything. I kind of show sometimes a little too much, and I get a lot of weird people asking me messages, like sending me really weird messages. But, you know, I try to keep it real. And, yeah, man, I can't wait to get back out and start, you know, mixing it up with people and stuff like that. So I could like start posting more about, you know, the daily life of people in wheelchairs and dating and just meeting people, you know, meeting girls and meeting other people.
Man, I got to say, Alexis, it's been fun. We met through therapy. We've had the opportunity to hang out, and I look forward to us hanging out again. Thanks for so much for coming on here, and we'll definitely have another conversation because, like you said, there's a lot of how-to stuff. I know you've done a lot of the sports, and there's different activities that I want us to talk about and share that we've done, and just to, you know, give life to some of the guys and ladies out there who are newly injured, who don't know what opportunities are out there for them. So again, I gotta say thank you so much for everyone listening. Valentine's Day is coming up. Go ahead, if you haven't found yourself a little boo thing to hang out with, you can find it wherever you do, whether you do it online or in person. Just remember to be honest, keep yourself confident, and don't let the wheelchair define you. You are who you are. Step into the room with a smile on your face and see what happens from there.
And I just want to add one more thing. First, thanks for, you know, inviting me to this. You know, it's been a while since I see you, man. And it's just like that night that we went out to the club and we, you know, we had that good time with the dancers, and it was a really good time. There for anybody that's looking for any kind of like support group or anything like that, I'm the vice president of the support group. Oh yeah, Bruno, I'm the vice president now of the support group.
Oh, after the past elections, I didn't know that. Oh, dope.
Congrats. Yeah. I'm the vice president now. So I just want, you could go to SCISG.org, and then there's a bunch of like information there, and then that's where you could get to like our Zoom classes, our Zoom meetings that we have like two of them a month, and you'll see me on there because I got to be there. But anybody in the world could literally get onto that website and check it out and be a part, you know, and see us and talk to us and interact with us and have any questions for us, they could just hit us up on there too, you know, through the meetings and stuff like that. They're really informative and, you know, I like them. I just had to stick that one out there real quick.
Definitely, you got a plug. I appreciate it. I plugged it as well. I'll make sure to put it up on the episode notes so they can check out the website, hit you up as well on the Instagram. You guys know you can contact me on the email rampituppodcast@gmail.com or the Instagram ramp.it.up.podcast. I'm going to have to post pictures of us. We're going to have to send some pictures, let the ladies know we're handsome and single for this upcoming Valentine's Day. But again, Alexis, I appreciate you, brother. You have a good one, all right?
You as well, right now. Great seeing you, man. A pleasure. All right.
Definitely.
Peace out.
Thanks for tuning in to the show. Connect with the podcast on social media. Check out our Instagram page at ramp.it.up.podcast or email us at rampituppodcast@gmail.com. Until next time.